On this episode of the podcast, I have with me Loïc Hosier. He is the Senior VP of Engineering at Product Board. We're going to be talking about leveling up from mid-level manager roles. And a lot of times we talk about how to get into the first management role and how to move into top-tier manager roles. But sometimes in the middle, you have to find ways to move up. And we're going to be talking about some of those challenges, skills to be learning. Loïc, super excited to have you on the show to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm super excited, Amir. Thanks for having me. I expect this to be a blast. Really like a topic that I have a lot of interest in. So hopefully we'll have a great conversation.
Awesome. Awesome. Before we start, I'd love everyone to know what Product Board does. So let us know what you guys do over there.
So Product Board, in a nutshell, is the system of work for product managers. Product managers, they are used back in the days to have like so many different tools to basically make their work, which the eventual outcome is like a pretty nice roadmap that they can be shared with product marketing, can be shared with like customer organization and of course their customers. But to get to that point, there's a lot of work for them to, I would say, to go through. One big part is managing all the insights that they get from their customers, customer feedback from ticketing system, Zendesk, Intercom, Apple Store, Google, like all those feedback that are very qualitative. We crunch that and we help those product managers to get the real meat. What is really interested in that? And of course, you can weight those feedback based on the type of customers that are giving you those feedback. Maybe if those are like part of a specific segment, like let's say you're a PM focused on enterprise segment, you want to hear only about those enterprise feedback because this is the core of your game. Or maybe you're just interested in the top 10 customers. Or maybe you want to slice and dice the data like in so many different ways. The problem is like that data is coming from different tools. Like the usage of your product, probably in some telemetry tools, the feedback from ticketing systems. So we gather everything and we help the PM to make sense of it. So that's the insight part of the job and making sense of what's needed. And this helped the PM basically build a better prioritization mechanism because now they have data they can rely on and they can justify why this initiative is more important than this initiative. And then the next stage is this prioritization exercise. So this is one input. Then you get the input from engineering manager, maybe designers, about like the level of effort, about their availability. And to bring that data, I would say, together, you kind of like build what is above, your capacity, what is below, helping you make your calls about like your quarterly planning, yearly planning, you name it. And then you can build your sprint out of it. So it's kind of like the prioritization and the planification exercise that is happening. So that's what Product Board is about. And downstream, of course, we integrate with like the execution piece, which is the Jira of the world, the Azure DevOps, GitHub, Linear, whatever, I would say, where the ticketing tracking is done. We integrate with that so that the PM can stay in Product Board and have like everything available there. So that's what we're doing.
I mean, it seems like a very integral product, especially if you're in the product side. And I mean, geez, we might have to do an episode in terms of the opportunity of and growth of the product down the road. But I guess for this episode, we're going to tackle something that is I guess broadly applicable to a lot of people who are in management, or if you're trying to get into management at some point, you might find yourself trying to find a way to progress up the management career path. And I guess a lot of times people who move into management get there and then they're trying to figure out subsequent steps and the skills they need to move up. From your perspective, Adam, you've been leading teams for a while. When you see people moving into initial manager roles and they spend time, let's say, you know, from manager to senior manager, and they're just in those positions, they'd like to move up. Obviously, there's some challenges. There's only a few roles above them. Obviously, they don't want necessarily to leave. There's obviously very odd situations when it comes to management. When you're looking at someone who's in a manager or senior manager role, they'd like to move into director or a director who wants to move into VP, some of those challenges in terms of they face in terms of career options and choices. Maybe highlight some of those for us.
So that's interesting. So I have a very simple framework when I talk to my, I would say, the people that work with me, and about like what is the difference between a manager and a senior manager, a senior manager and a director, and a director and a VP. So what are those key differences that you need to think about to understand the level of complexity that will come with this new role? And I don't want to the difference between being a strong IC and becoming an okay manager, like it's different jobs. So still the same type of jobs, but still very different. Like for example, the way I mention it is like you're a manager, you have one clear mission and a team to execute on it. It's pretty close to being a tech lead. And you can have like different flavor of engineering management, like the driver, the people manager, there's multiple dimensions to it. But you usually have like one stream of work as a manager. And it might change. We can discuss also about it, but with the current market, we tend to have like more leaner organizations. So the size of the teams tend to be larger. And while we were used to like one manager with one stream of work mainly, we start to see managers with like dual stream of work, maybe sometimes three stream of work. And this is where I make the difference between a manager and a senior manager. You're a manager, you have like one stream of work. You understand the mission. You explain that clearly to your team. You staff your team, usually a relatively small team, and you execute on it relatively easy. And you're day in, day out in this mission. When you start adding like a second mission, all of a sudden, you have to make trade-offs. Because the trade-off, you didn't have really to make trade-off as a manager. You were waiting for your director, and you were like, hey, I need one people, and yes or no. But you're not the one making the decision. Now, all of a sudden, you have a bigger team with two streams, two missions, and now you are the one making the trade-offs. Like, okay, you will have one headcount. Oh, shoot, but I need one for both. So all of a sudden, you have to make decisions that are hard. And this is the, I would say, the kind of like the next level of making hard decisions. And this is where I see like the level of seniority being really important, because you're not just tracking the execution of the stream. Like, you need to start owning a decision, making clear on how to make the decision, communicate the decision, owning the, I would say, the consequences of your decision, because you will potentially piss off one of your subgroup or sub-team. And this is where I think that the senior manager, I would say, comes in, because you need to be able those decisions. You need to be able to accept the loss of popularity, in a way. Because when you're just a manager with your team, easy to say, hey, not me. Lack of budget, I didn't have the headcount, it's on the director or on the VP. When you're a senior manager and you have a budget of one person, you're the one choosing if it's team A or team B under you. So that's tough. So that's kind of like the first level between senior, I would say, manager and senior manager. Director, to me, is when you start managing managers. Totally different. Totally different, because you were, before becoming a manager, you were an IC. So managing ICs is kind of like managing the old you. And the difficulty is, sure, you have a bar. You knew how to, I would say, bring your bar and compare yourself to the bar that you had. Now your job is not to compare those people to your bar. It's kind of like adjusting the bar and growing the team globally. But all of a sudden, as a director, you need to manage manager. And it's very, I would say, I think it's harder to judge managers than it was to assess and improve the capacity of ICs. And you start at the director level to be more involved on the budget discussions, for the tooling, for like the comp raises. Usually this is where you have like full ownership of the budget on the comp for your team. So you're, again, making tougher and tougher decisions. You might face, as a director, I would say, managers that want to grow. But this is where the growth or the potential needs to meet an opportunity. When you have ICs, if the people, I would say, act as a level one, level two, like, let's say, staff engineer, you can promote them up to staff engineer, right? You don't need an opportunity. Like, if they operate at that level, that's great. When you're a manager, or like a director, and you have like manager reporting to you, now all of a sudden, if you want to promote them, you cannot promote someone to director or promote to someone to senior manager if there's no opportunity for it. So it's becoming even, I would say, trickier to have those performance management conversation with your managers. So that's why I feel that managing managers is tricky or trickier. And that's kind of like the next level coming at the director level. And I do think that the biggest gap is to VP. And the way I love to talk about it to people that want to become like VP is that the concept of first team. When you're a manager, your first team is the people you manage. This is the team you want to be successful. And that's your definition of success. Make that team successful. You become a director or a manager, a director, you start to have an organization. You're more conscious of the rest of the organization in the product engineering organization. And all of a sudden, you need to influence more than just your group. Maybe you own some processes. Maybe you own some, shared stack across the board. Your impact is more global, but still within the limits of the product engineering organization. When you're a VP, your first team is the exec team. Assuming you're a VP in a company where you report to a CEO. But as long as you report to the CEO, your first team is the CFO, is the VP product. It's like the head of sales, head of marketing. That's your first team. And all of a sudden, the people that you need to make successful is, sure, your team, that's a given, but that's the other. And so the level of business acumen that you need to be successful as a VP is totally different than the one that you have at the director level, which is still very technical. So that mindset shift in the concept of the first team, I think I would say is very important to grasp, because all of a sudden, even if your function is good, if the company is not, you're screwed. And you have a strong influence on, of course, on the product, but on marketing, maybe because you own the corporate website, maybe because you own the sign-up flow on your website, and you have a huge influence on the conversion rate for the, I would say, the marketing leads on the platform. So there's a lot of influence that you can have across the board that you probably don't have as a director, and you need to be like super, super conscious of that. The other aspect is, when you start to be at the VP level, you're alone. When you're a director, usually in the same company, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 different directors. So you can talk, you can have like some sort of like a subgroup of peers discussing about your own challenges, and that helps. When you're a VP, you don't have peers anymore. You're the most senior person in the company, and that's frightening, and you feel really alone. So you have to, I mean, there's of course a mechanism, you need to have your own network, you have like dinners with peers, and you exchange, like you start to build your kind of like your network of people that are in the same type of role. Ideally, you start to have a mentor, because when you're a director, your manager is a VP. He is still from the same function. So he used to be a director. He was in your seat at some point. When you're a VP, your manager is a CEO. And if you're lucky, the CEO has a technical background and can help you to be a better VP of engineering. More often than not, they are like on the product or the sales background. So they have some, and they can help on some stuff, especially the business acumen, but no one in your real function that can help you grow in that function anymore. So it feels very alone at the top, or lonely at the top. And that's something that I would say needs to be prepared, like for people that are probably like director in big companies and want to jump on a VP role at a smaller companies and report to a CEO. This is something that is totally different. Totally different.
I guess a couple of things we can unpack. I think that was a great overview, because I think it's real clear in terms of the responsibility, and also you started understanding some of the aptitude necessary. Obviously, that first manager role, as you're an IC, you've moved through to staff level to team lead. When you become manager, as you mentioned, you're managing one stream. You're not too far away from maybe that staff or technical lead role. It's a familiar position, managing some of those mechanisms, right? The performance, those might be new. but you're still pretty close to the work, which I'm assuming as an engineer, you feel comfortable because that is what you did for a lot of time. When you move from that manager to the senior manager or director, depending on the company size, where you're handling multiple streams in multiple teams, now you've definitely moved further away from being an IC, from leveraging your deep technical background. Is there a sense that that is potentially might give somebody a feeling of being lost? Because that comfort level, that being closer to the technical work has to be, it has to be comforting. And losing that, the further you get, obviously we won't talk about the VP and above levels right now, but just moving to that next tier management, how do you deal with going, I'm now losing that hands-on aspect?
Yeah, it can be frightening because you're maybe not as much in the details as you were before. And before, like, you had like all the answers, like for your, when your director or your head of product comes to you and say, hey, what the fuck with X or Y and Z? You had all the answers because the team was small enough. You knew exactly what was happening. You were probably part of the stand up every morning. So, you know the context, you know everything. And all of a sudden you can't. So there's a part of delegation. You probably have like a tech lead per stream, I would assume. I would say there's many different ways to do it, but you, as a senior manager, you probably have like, let's say three streams. Each stream of work, you probably have your strong technical person, the go-to person, the one that is driving, I would say, everything. And this is the way we're building our teams here at Product Board. Like each pod or each sub-team has a tech lead that is the driver. And so you have to accept to delegate. You have to build and give trust to those people. So you need to be comfortable with like letting go in a way. And that's definitely something that is really, really hard. But I would compare this to the, when you start to become a manager, you let go the capacity to ship that. Like you were maybe like a coding machine, or you were like a really, really like one of the main driver in terms of code. Maybe you had some collaboration exercise and the team like move with you, but you were mostly leading by example. Right now, you cannot be the example anymore. Maybe you're still a bit hands-on with the team, but you're not the one that is kind of like pulling the team as an IC and as a doer. All of a sudden, you need to like pull them and inspire them to do their best work, but you're not the one in the code. So already you were losing that strong influence on the execution when you move to a manager. But as a senior manager with multiple streams, now you are like even further away from it. So it's kind of like another level of abstraction that you need to have, and delegation and trust that you need to build with your team. And the way I was doing it, I mean, I always love to be in the details. So I always carved out some time to dive. And from time to time, depending on what is really critical, and to have this sensation that I'm in control. So, and even now, like Product Board, our product engineering organization is a bit more than 100 people. There's some specific initiatives where I want to be close enough from, I would say, the technical aspect, because I know this is the critical part. And coming back, I would say, to the senior EM, this is when you have to make your choices as well, because you cannot just be deep everywhere. So you have to choose where you spend your time. So this is, again, we are talking about trade-offs. You have to make some trade-offs. Maybe you won't be as deep in one of the area, maybe because it's not as critical, or maybe it's not the moment to be deep. So, but you have to have this level of abstraction and understand between the different streams, which are the level of depth you want to have in each of those. Maybe it depends on the tech lead seniority. If your strongest tech lead is leading initiative A, and you've been working with that person, and she was like a tech lead for, I don't know, already like 4 or 5 years, and you know it's like a consistent work, maybe you can, I would say, take a step back. And maybe if it's a junior tech lead, or maybe just a new hire, senior tech lead, but a new hire, maybe you want to have a closed loop there. So having that step back, understand the dynamics, and understand and be really cognizant and really deliberate in where you put your attention is probably a skill set that you need to build as you grow into a senior manager role.
That's interesting because I think as I'm listening, I'm thinking about everything you hear about leadership when you're an IC and you're going to college, and everything you hear about your whole life is you gotta be the person, you want to be in charge, you want to make that decision. The more I'm listening to you is that you actually have to really be good at delegating and navigating trade-offs and risk assessment. It's not, and I think as a leader, you obviously recognize that, but I think it's not, hey, I need to be the person to make that call. It's more about how do I find the right person and empower them, which is a different thing. Because if you're the tech lead, you think I need to take ownership of the project to make decisions. And I think that's potentially something that we've done a very poor job. And again, I think we do a great job of training. You want to be a computer science major? Fantastic. You're going to learn the basics to go code. First job, they'll teach you some more, but you know the fundamentals. But to be the manager, that gap in terms of becoming that initial manager so you can then manage multiple streams, I think that gap of understanding delegation is something that is undervalued, under-indexed versus other attributes to become quote-unquote leaders.
No, that's fair. That's a very good point. And on this delegation, it's some people think, especially junior manager, they think about like, oh, I want the decision to be, I would say, on the ICs. I shouldn't be the way. I need to create the environment so that they feel safe to make their own decisions and all of that. Like a very empowering environment, which is great. I mean, in the ideal, you want to have this empowering environment, but one prerequisite is that your team is senior enough to make those decisions globally. And you have a team that is very diverse. So in some buckets, they will be able to make those decisions on their own. In some area, maybe not. And I think that the challenge is not learning to delegate. It's learning when to delegate the decisions. Because there's some, I mean, we were talking a lot about like wartime and peacetime, and that the last 2 years were definitely wartime for, and again, I don't want to, obviously with the global context, we're talking about wartime is not maybe not the right wording, but you see that like the last 2 years were really, really tough on, I would say, startups especially, but all companies. And this is a time where being a manager is, or leader is very, very important. And the old reflex of trying to make the decision by the team, for the team, and empowering the team to make the decisions, I've seen things moving way more toward a bit of a top-down approach. Like, I would say in the 90s or the 80s, it was top-down. And you were like an IC, you were just following the direction. We went through a model where with a lot of empowerment with the team and a lot of learnings about leadership and all, it was great to, I would say, to provide a team with the power to decide. And one of the best books that I've read was Turn the Ship Around, which is all about, I would say, making the teams empowered to make their own decisions. But during a wartime, sometimes the team, they need also you as a leader to make the call. And maybe you don't have all the context. Maybe you don't have like all the, I would say, the data to make the call, but they need someone to make the call because sometimes you deal with uncertainty and they need someone to own it. And you're the one. And this is also something that is tough because now you're the leader and you're the one owning the decision. So, and I think this is something that that is probably not discussed enough. Is understanding and knowing when you have to make the call, when you have to make the decision. And that's not easy.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's a great point. And I think, you know, as we, you know, if we were to really look at people and their movement and through their careers and moving into that first manager role and being prepared, obviously, to move past that, I think sometimes, you know, as you kind of alluded to it, that gap between an IC of whatever form to that first manager is very familiar. But the skills that they're going to need to succeed above that probably are not being as well, or maybe they are, depending on where the company you're at, but we're not maybe as indexed on those skills because obviously getting to that milestone is important. And then you start ramping up skills. I guess in a theoretical world where we're kind of talking in theory in some ways and not using like a real company example, but if you were to look at somebody who's going through that trajectory and they're going from an IC, they know they want to be a manager, they want to be a senior manager, they want to move above, what skills can they start trying to develop? Because obviously they can start working on some of these delegation concepts, some of these making decisions, obviously in their own world. And as they are looking up for those opportunities to kind of grasp, to get more experience, how do you start building these skills that you're kind of referencing that are super important?
That's very interesting. There's a couple of things that I would say just pop up in my mind. The first one is you need to start influencing people outside of your own domain. Let's say you're a tech lead or you're a staff engineer. Your impact is likely very localized to the team you are in. You want to become at some point a manager, start to understand what it takes and take opportunity in your company to drive stuff cross-functionally across the teams. Maybe it's owning like a stack. You want to transform a process. Something stupid as like PR reviews. Maybe the PR review process is broken for whatever reason. People complain and everything. You see a problem like this. So it's not technical. It can be like a process or tools oriented. But try to find a problem that touches not only your team, but the whole organization. Because you will be exposed to what it takes to get shit done when you don't have like all the means to just like decide. And you need to influence people to get it done. So that's probably like the number one thing is like getting this ability to, and I'm sorry and pardon my French, but to get the things done. That's probably the thing that is the hardest to learn, because we mentioned a couple of things, but like learning to do things and influence people so that you get things done is tough. This is tough. So as an IC, like staff level, or like I would strive to, I would say, find those opportunities to get shit done outside of my team. So I have a global impact is probably one of the skill set that would be the most useful as a manager later. And so a good example would be, at Product Board, we have the concept of guilds. We have a front-end guild, we have a back-end guild, we have an SRE guild. It's a group of people that meet, I was on a monthly basis. They discuss like, the pain points associated with the domain, and they surface the problems so that we kind of like found the initiative to solve for those problems. As a senior IC, being part of a guild like this and driving a guild and making, I would say, those impact across the company is a nice way to understand what it takes. Or like have a glimpse of what it takes to drive things across the board and maybe drive a couple of people without the legitimacy, because you're not yet a manager, but getting that without the title and getting shit done with a group of people would be like a good first step. I would strongly suggest to do stuff like this.
I actually think it's great. It's great details. And I was going to ask you this potentially as our, you know, maybe a final question, because I think you alluded to this, and I think it's quite interesting. You mentioned the isolation of different layers of management, right? Depending on how many people you have in your peer group at a company potentially and having to deal with that. So maybe if you could touch on it, because I think a lot of people who probably are progressing up haven't run into that, because when you're an IC, there's a lot of ICs and your teams are, you're all peers at a wider level. So as the pyramid is getting narrower at the top. And you mentioned having people outside the company potentially, but maybe just talk to us about that component.
No, that's one. If you work at Google, Microsoft, like those companies, you'd have like plenty of opportunities to have like internal mentorship. They have even programs for it where they detect the people that have like a high potential, and they will pair them with like someone that is more senior, and they will help them grow in that role. When you're not in that context, you need to get exposed to people because there's only so much stuff you can do by reading. You can read as many books as you can or as you want. It won't I mean, you will reach a limit of those just like documented knowledge. You need to knowledge that and someone that is able to help you reflect about your day-to-day issues. And I find it like tremendously helpful to have a network of people that I can tap into and say, hey, I have this problem right now. So for example, like we went all through layoffs in the last 2 years. How to manage that? How to manage your internal, like your left brain and your right brain? Like the right brain that is like very, very business oriented. I understand why. And I need to be like a good soldier for the company. So I know that I need to execute. And your left brain, holy shit, this is tough. I have a lot of empathy for my people and everything. How to navigate those? And the higher you are in the hierarchy of the leadership, the less people you can share your concern and your problems. So it's super important to get access to people. And so you need to get access to those people. But once you get access to those people, you just phone, you take a beer, and you talk about those pain points. Like, how do you manage that? How did you have this conversation? And so that's important. So that's part also of the someone that has good potential and wants to be a leader needs to confront their own principles with other principles. So discuss with others outside of your company, outside of your industry as well, if you can. That's super important. So meetups, there's a lot of Slack groups where like I would say there's leadership, technical leadership people meeting and everything. Do dinners, spend some time outside of it. This is probably the best investment that you would do of your time in your career.
I love it. I mean, I think that's honestly, until you get there, you don't know. And then once you get there, you're trying to figure it out. So I think that's some great advice is, you know, if someone's listening, they're mid-tier or just wanting to be a new manager. I think these are new connections and networks that you previously didn't have and you need to focus on. Loic, if somebody wants to reach out to you, obviously we could keep covering this subject for a while. So I'm sure we have not exhausted your knowledge base on this. If somebody wants to reach out to you to ask you more questions or just follow up with you, what is a good way of touching base with you?
The easiest is LinkedIn. That's the the place that I look at. I'm on Twitter and Reddit, of course, but as a consumer, not a provider. So LinkedIn is the go-to.
Okay, we make sure to include that handle. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Amir. Thanks for having me. That was super fun.
Absolutely. That's it for the episode. Be back again. Different guests, different topic. And then two things. One, I thought this was a great episode. I don't think people talk about this aspect enough. I think when we were talking about topics, Loic mentioned this is an area that he's passionate about. And obviously you can hear it. Great advice. Even if you're at that senior manager level or maybe you're below, I think you could probably learn something or share it with somebody else who is potentially looking to move up. I think great content here. Also, like, subscribe. Let me know how the podcast is going, what I can do to improve it. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.